Everyone can benefit from declarative language because it's an invitational speaking style. And it's just more about meeting the individual in the moment at that language level that's just right for them.
Welcome to the Social Learning Road Trip. I am Kristen Smith, a speech language pathologist with the Upper Grand District School Board. And today we are here with Linda Murphy, who is a speech language pathologist and the author of the Declarative Language Handbook and the co-author of the Peer Project Therapy from the Heart Clinic in Massachusetts. Linda has also worked with Michelle Garcia Winner and has co-authored the Social Thinking and Me book. Linda's Declarative Language Handbook and the Co-regulation Handbooks are an accumulation of her work with children and their families to foster the use of positive communication styles that emphasize understanding, patience, respect, and kindness in our interaction with children who struggle with social learning differences.
Welcome, Linda. I'm Tara Ross, another speech pathologist who works at Upper Grand, and we are really excited that you'll be joining us throughout this podcast series to help guide our understanding of social learning differences and learn to use a more thoughtful communication style to help students to feel connected and understood and supported with their co-regulation.
Thank you so much for having me. As I've said to you both offline, I think this is just a really exciting project that you're doing. And I'm really happy that you've invited me to be part of your community in this way.
We are so excited. Let's start off today by digging into your first book, The Declarative Language Handbook. I would really like to understand your story and how you got interested in social learning differences and eventually came to write these two wonderful handbooks.
Thank you for asking. So if it's okay, I'll go back to the beginning. When I was an undergraduate, I studied math. So I'm just a numbers nerd. You know, I enjoy analytical processes and didn't quite know what I wanted to do after college. And I spent 2 years working with autistic adults in a group supported work program and then later a residential setting in Spokane, Washington. And it was when I was there that I learned about speech language pathology and just the importance of communication, and then went back to graduate school at Emerson College to study speech language pathology and become a speech language pathologist. Barry Prezant was one of my professors there, and I feel incredibly lucky to consider him one of my first mentors in the field. I very much love his work, and all that he talks about really resonates for me as a clinician. You know, just the caring about relationships and meeting people where they're at developmentally and in each moment. After I graduated, I worked in an early intervention program for about 7 years in the Boston area. And it was there that I really got a great exposure and understanding just of development as a whole. So it brought me outside the speech therapy only field to work really closely with social workers, physical therapists, OTs, developmental specialists. So just really having that foundation really helped me be able to see the big picture in a child's development, but then also family systems, because all of this matters so much in terms of communication and supporting our students. So as I was a speech language pathologist in early intervention, I then learned about relationship development intervention, which is a parent coaching program developed by Dr. Steve Gutstein and Dr. Rochelle Shealy to really support and guide parents on how to help their children develop dynamic communication, or for them to develop dynamic communication even as a team. So that gave me a whole other set of tools that I hadn't yet learned, but just really changed everything for me in terms of how I thought about communication and approached families and kids even. And it was in the world of RDI that I first learned about the idea of declarative language as a really powerful communication approach and co-regulation. And so that was back in 2007 when I first learned about these concepts and started to think about them. So then I'm in the Boston area where ABA is really big and has been big, was especially big at that time in the early 2000s, you know, and even still. And so I just saw on the ground how powerful these ideas were, how empowering they were, how much they valued just the relationships with individuals, and how that really fostered unique and important growth. So I just started to talk more and write about more, maybe in reports or short articles. And then just around 2019, 2020, I decided to write Declarative Language Handbook just to get the word out there a bit more. Because again, I always felt like this was such an important strategy for me that isn't hard to learn and makes a big difference once you understand it.
Absolutely. And I think that we are really noticing that it is this broad concept that a lot of people can benefit from. And now we know that you have this wealth of experience and practical examples from your past that's coming to us with this book. So that's such a great introduction for us.
Yeah. So autistic children are most often identified as having social learning challenges and would definitely benefit from a more thoughtful language style. But does anyone else benefit from the use of declarative language style?
Yeah, well, actually, I think we all benefit from it. And, you know, one thing I've really been thinking about a lot since 2020 or so is just how can I continue to be more neurodiversity affirming, understand that we have different communication styles, and one is not better than the other, but we really just need to work to understand each other better. So certainly declarative language is helpful in understanding individuals across social learning styles. So it might be autistic, non-autistic, or neurodivergent, an holistic person who is not, or neurotypical rather, excuse me. But then also what I've heard a lot just from parents in general is that these approaches can be really helpful just for a neurotypical parent using it with their neurotypical child, just because it's about empowering communication and fostering growth. So there's a lot of people that can benefit from it. And it just comes down to being more effective and thoughtful communication partners to the people that we're with.
Absolutely. And I know for even my own children, I use these principles all the time. And there is so much more respect that I receive from them in having this, again, just a more open way of communicating. So in the next few episodes, we are going to be digging in more to this idea of declarative language and discussing this book. To get us started in this episode, I'm wondering if you could help us set the stage for using declarative language in a classroom, because this is a education-based podcast. In the classroom, as educators, we are often a timekeeper, director, helper. We often end up using directive or imperative language, so telling children what they need to do. Using kind of very short directions, sometimes long directions. How does this kind of language style affect our interactions with students with social learning differences and beyond?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that imperative style or directive style of communication does immediately is it places pressure on individuals to perform in the moment according to our timeline. And for individuals with social learning differences, it may be that that demand creates stress on them, or it does not give them the processing time that they might need. And what can result is at times challenging behavior. So we might see that in response. So as an educator, you may think, I don't have time for this style of speaking because it takes too long. But really, when we place stress on individuals and take away their opportunity to problem solve or to have autonomy in a moment where they likely could, we might end up creating challenging behaviors, or a child might get stuck, which then ends up taking longer. So if we can just be more thoughtful on the front end, it is more smooth, it is more positive, people feel better and more connected in a positive way. And it's really worth it because you will save time in the long run because you're building skills such as problem solving or perspective taking, seeing the big picture, while also minimizing opportunities for stress, which can create, again, those challenging behaviors, which then take our time and attention away from the learning at hand that we might want to get to.
Yeah. So how does using those declarative statements change those interactions? Like, what's happening in there?
Yeah. So we could give an example. So it could be something like, say, for example, it's time to go to lunch and a teacher might say, go to the door. So what that does is it places a demand on an individual to follow a discrete direction in the moment, and they either do it or they don't. And some kids might, and that's just fine, but some kids might not. They might get stuck. they might feel the pressure. It could slow things down. But if you were just to change that to a declarative statement that just is a comment that observes in the moment, it might say something like, I see kids lining up at the door, or, oh, look, it's 12 o'clock. I remember it's time for lunch. And what you're doing is just really flipping the dynamic from one that places pressure and a demand to one that scales back to give the individual time to observe their environment and problem solve, or to think about the big picture in the context of their day, for example, the time. But at the end of the day, what those declarative statement does is it gives space for the individual to then initiate and take action based on knowledge that's already in their mind. We just want to give them, guide them toward that knowledge and then give them space to take the next step. So it's more empowering for individuals. They have more autonomy and everybody feels better as a result.
For sure. And I like that you're taking the child's hold more holistically. You're looking at not just, whether they might be having social differences, but also just at where they are in their current day, whether they're fatigued and they're just not able to listen to as much, or whether they are, finding the language too complex. And that actually leads into our next question. In the Declarative Language Handbook, you make a comment that while we do need to consider the style of language we're using, being declarative versus this imperative, more directive, we also need to think about the complexity of the language. As speech language pathologists, we realize how important this is, but can you elaborate on why this comes into play with your handbook as well?
Yeah, so this even goes back to just the idea of meeting individuals where they're at in development. So sometimes when people think about declarative language, they might think that it's really wordy and we're using a lot of cognitive verbs, which I know we'll get into as we go. But at its heart, declarative language is just a comment. So it could be something like, I see all the kids at the door, or I'm thinking about the kids at the door to, oh, wow, look, kids are at the door, or let's go to the door. But essentially what you're doing is you are scaling down your language level to meet the learner where they're at in terms of language comprehension, syntactic complexity, utterance length. So you can always be declarative just by making something a comment versus a demand or versus a question, but you want the length, the syntactic structure, et cetera, to match their level of comprehension, whatever it might be.
Amazing. And I think we'll get into more details around that as we go on, but that was a great kind of start and introduction to that.
Yeah. Is there anything else you think we should know if we wanted to start using declarative language tomorrow?
Yeah. And I was thinking maybe one thing I'll do is expand on that last point. I think one concern that I hear people voice a lot is, for example, maybe individuals who we are unsure of their comprehension, or we believe their receptive language skills to be lower, or perhaps they're non-speaking. People might say something like, oh, I can't use declarative language with this person because they'll never understand it. And to that, I want to say everyone can benefit from declarative language because it's an invitational speaking style. And it's just more about meeting the individual in the moment at that language level that's just right for them. And also we can remember that with any communication, it's never just about the words that we use, but communication is a whole package. So it's also about the nonverbal cues that we use, the gestures, the facial expressions. So anytime we are unsure about what an individual might or might not understand, we always have our nonverbal communication at our fingertips to scaffold a message or to guide them. So I think that's important to keep in mind, that declarative language is okay at any age and at whatever language level a person is at. And then secondly, just, as everybody gets started thinking about it, just know that declarative language, it's great to just start small. You also want to just set yourself up for success and think about it one exchange at a time, where you're just kind of thinking, okay, is this an opportunity where I could maybe make a comment rather than make a demand or ask a question? And just get your toes wet. It's not like I ever expect anybody to be all declarative all the time, especially if they're not used to it. So I always just want everyone to feel comfortable getting started in whatever way is good for them.
Well, I think that's a great way for us to end this first podcast. You have given us this invitation yourself into exploring more about declarative language. We encourage everyone to go out and get a copy of the Declarative Language Handbook so they can follow along with us in more detail. And we really hope that you can join us for our next episode of the Social Learning Road Trip. Thanks so much, Linda, for joining us today.
Thank you. We'll see you again.
Thank you for listening to the Social Learning Road Trip, a podcast presented by Upper Grand District School Board. For educators within our board, you can access show notes and links to our other podcast episodes on our SharePoint page under Innovation Lab. Other listeners can find our podcast and additional information on our parent website at www.ugdsb.ca/CLS parents. If you would like to find out more information about declarative language and co-regulation, please visit Linda Murphy's site at declarativelanguage.com.